fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. There have been some surprise packages in the group stage of the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Cameroon. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to two of those teams, Nations Cup debutants, Comoros and Gambia. Both teams could advance to the knockout stage in Cameroon. On Tuesday in Garoua, Cameroon, Comoros shocked four-time African champion Ghana 3-2 to eliminate the Black Stars. It was the first ever Nations Cup win in Comoros football history. Ghana had advanced to at least the semifinals in six of the past seven Africa Cups and was last dumped out in the group stage in 2006. Joining us now from Accra, Ghana, with a post-match report is Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori. Sporty greetings, Kwabena.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Black Stars of Ghana suffered its worst defeat in their AFCON 21 last group match against Comoros at Rumde Ajia Stadium yesterday. Ben Fadu Mohamed of Comoros got the opener in the fourth minute, and that brought tension in the game when in the 25th minute, Ghana's captain Dede Ayew was red-carded after clashing with the goalkeeper of Comoros, Ben Buena. The second half saw a lot of pressure being mounted by Comoros, and that resulted their second goal in the 60th minute. However, the Ghanaians, sensing danger, fought hard to equalize in the 64th and 77th minute. But luck was not on the Black Stars' side when Comoros scored in the 85th minute to win the game by 3-2. Captain of the Black Stars, Andrew Ayew.
We need to learn from this. Apologize to the nation for not going to the next stage. We're very disappointed because this is not Ghana.
Ghana's head coach gave his comments.
We didn't start the match as we expected. You know, game didn't go well from the beginning. We conceded an early goal, plus this the red card completely changed the course of the match. We tried to come back. At one point, we had 2-2 result. We wanted to come back completely and win, but eventually, my boys did everything. They were fighting so much, but I have to congratulate to Comoros team. They deserve this victory.
Most Ghanaians were not happy with the loss to Comoros and the early exit of Ghana from the competition. And I asked Ghana football analyst John Amoah, who has been following the Black Stars over four decades, on Ghana's performance in the AFCON 21.
I was downhearted and heartbroken yesterday. And I think so many Ghanaians also feel the same, because the Black Stars of Ghana yesterday did not make our day very enjoyable because of the poor performance when they played against the Comoros. The Black Stars of Ghana, even though pride ourselves for being four times African champions, but in my view, that is far too long a time for us. 40 years with this cup drought is something that Ghanaians are not happy about. And so we wanted a team to give us something that we can be proud of. And yesterday, many Ghanaians were very downhearted. The team lacked cohesion. The team had no potent striking ability. The whole team, I think, broke down.
Ghana finished their group with 1 point and at the bottom after losing to Morocco and Comoros and drawing 1-0 with Gabon. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabno Fori reporting.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
For more on Comoros upsetting Ghana, plus lots more Nations Cup news, we're joined from Cameroon by Samson Omale. Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Samson!
Sporty Nations Cup greetings to you, Sonny.
Youssef, chance to cross maybe for the fullback. He does, and Comoros have got the third. But what an effort from Comoros. It's all over in Garoua. It's heartbreak for Ghana.
Just 2 days after Equatorial Guinea shook up the tournament by beating defending champions Algeria, Tiny Comoros humiliated Ghana with a 3-2 win in the Group C clash in Garoua in one of the competition's biggest surprises so far. Ghana had captain Dide Ayew sent off early in the match, but goals from Richard Bwake and Alexander Djiku leveled the tie as a fought back only for Comoros Mogne to grab a winner with 5 minutes remaining. I spoke with the Ghanaian captain Andre Ayew after the game, and he described their poor run at the tournament as disappointing.
We didn't have a good AFCON. When we look at all the goals conceded versus Morocco and versus Gabon, you can see that there was a lot of no luck in the goals. Also with the red card, we were very unlucky.
Black Stars defender Jonathan Mensah admitted that the Black Stars didn't get a few things right in the team, but sounded very optimistic about the future of the team.
I am really disappointed, and I know a lot of all Ghanaians are also disappointed. Tough way to exit the tournament. This is the first time, I believe, since 2006. And I have been to several AFCONs, and this is my first time going out in the group stage. So, we didn't even manage to win the game. So there's a lot of work to be done. Yeah, go back to the drawing board. Make sure that we don't repeat, some mistakes we did during this tournament. Keep working, keep improving, and then, we do well for our clubs. So when it gets time to come and represent, we come and help the nation. From the player side, I would say we can do more. You know, all aspects of the game. I believe, that's what we are here to do, to come and do our best. I don't believe we did all that. So we will go back, watch films, and then improve upon that.
After the game, I sat down with Ghanaian sports journalists Gary Al Smith and George Addo, and these were their thoughts about the Black Stars' loss.
I think we goofed in going for Coach Melon Raimatch. We have to accept it. It's as simple as that. We appointed the guy based on nostalgia. We're hoping that it will happen again, because when you look at the scorecard or you look at the sheets in terms of what he had done since he left Ghana, it's not enough to end him this Ghana job. We didn't pay attention to it. Why am I saying that? For instance, in today's game, when he really needed goals, he went attacking. The boys were playing. So we could have been attacking against Morocco, we could have been attacking against Gabon, not to play defensive and wait and concede goals in the last minute. The next thing for me is that raising the boys and bringing the boys up to the level, I don't know what went wrong. I blame the boys too, because you have to play like this in every game. And that's what we're seeing Gambia do, Guinea-Bissau do, Sierra Leone do, and Nigeria do, Cameroon do, because at the Africa Cup of Nations, your talent is not enough.
Comoros have been, since 2003, they've been serious about what they are doing, and they've grown in leaps and bounds. They had their first ever FIFA. They joined CAF and FIFA in 2003 and 2005, respectively. They had their first FIFA or CAF qualifier, one of them, in 2007, and they've not looked back since. Along the way, they've had famous draws with Cameroon, Morocco. They have drawn Ghana. They nearly beat Ghana. I mean, they nearly beat Ghana like that. And a couple of other countries. So they know what they are doing. And they've had a plan, and they've been following it.
The result in Group C will go down as one of the biggest shocks in Nations Cup history, as Comoros scored at the finals for the first time and then went on to record their maiden victory. Incredibly, the side ranked 132nd in the world now have a chance to reach the knockout stages as one of the four best-ranked third-place sides, even though the Silicants lost their first two games in Cameroon. Faoud Fred Bachuru, Cameroonian professional footballer who plays as a midfielder for Cyprus First Division side Omonia told the Sunnyside of Sports after the game that the victory against Ghana was historic for the island nation, whose population is barely under a million.
Yeah, it was an exciting game. We played against a good team, and we're just happy with the win. Obviously, it's always more exciting when we win. Yeah, it's a huge moment for us. I mean, it's the first time in this competition. We wanted to finish strong on this competition. We learn every game. We were a little bit disappointed with the first two games, but to beat a team like Ghana, who's been in this competition for many years, who's been one of the strong favourites every time we play in competitions to win, is a huge moment for us.
Where do you see the future of Comoros football after today?
Well, the same. The goal for us through the years to progress. You know, we've been progressing. We've been doing really well every year, and now it's the same way. We have a high expectation of ourselves. You know, we try to put the standard quite high to progress every time and see how far we can go.
Staying with Group C, Morocco won the group after twice coming from behind to draw 2-2 against an understrength Gabon, which had 8 players out with COVID-19 infections. And captain Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang sent back to his club in England for further medical tests after the detention of post-virus cardiac license. Gabon will be hoping he's cleared to return for Sunday's opening match of the round of 16 when they will take on Burkina Faso in Limbe. Elsewhere in Group B, Senegal finished top of the group ahead of Guinea after another unconvincing draw with Malawi, despite the return from COVID-19 quarantine of captain Kalidou Koulibaly and goalkeeper Edouard Mendy. Senegal was fortunate not to concede a penalty, which left the Flames of Malawi fuming when Cameroon referee Blaise Ngwa cancelled a late penalty he initially awarded them in Boafoussam after Gomezagni Chiwa was brought down in the box by defender Bouassar. This was how a Malawian fan reacted to the draw.
Even if we don't qualify, I think Malawi has done itself proud, because this is the first time that Malawi is being spoken about to say that they are going to qualify to the next round, which has never happened before. And secondly, this is one of the youngest team here at the African Cup of Nations. Malawi is here to stay, maybe even to go home with it, because it's going to come home in Malawi.
Malawi's president, Lazarus Chakwera, had offered each of those who played against Senegal a payment of $1,200 if the team advanced to the second round, which they look almost certain to do despite finishing third in the group. Guinea came second on a head-to-head count back against Malawi despite losing 2-1 to Zimbabwe, which had already been eliminated. Naby Keita pulled one back for Guinea after Zimbabwe had led 2-0 at halftime in Yaoundé, but was booked late in the game and will be suspended from their second-round clash next week. On Wednesday, Group D first-round matches will be concluded, with Nigeria already having taken top place. Nigeria will play Guinea-Bissau in Gara, while Egypt will be looking for a much-improved performance against Sudan to take second place. Interim Super Eagles coach Augustin Guavon and Williams Truce Ekong in the pre-match presser spoke about their preparations for the game and other team-related matters.
Third game in the group. I think we're not going to take our foot off the pedal, and we're going to approach this game with the same enthusiasm and passion that we did in the first two games. Suspected is don't expect the game to go smooth for 90 minutes. There will be ups and downs, but the ability and the knowledge to quickly fix it is very important. Our main concern is we create a lot of chances, but putting them away is a bit of a concern. But however, we've worked on that. We hope we can improve on that, because goal is always power.
We are taking this game as serious as the first two. I think we've got a great spirit in our team. We've enjoyed playing here in Garoua the first two games. And I think, as everyone can see, the team is very hungry to improve and work hard. And even though this game might not determine so much for the group qualification, this is an amazing opportunity for us to continue to work on our team. And play against a very good opposition and to test ourselves even more. So, we're all looking forward to the game.
That's Nigeria and Watford defender William Troost-Ekong speaking in Garoua, Cameroon. And thanks to Samson Omale for another spicy package of Africa Cup of Nations football news.
Sporting greetings. This is William Chosekong from Watford Football Club and Nigeria Super Eagles. You're listening to the Sunny Sides of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, William. Defending Nations Cup champion Algeria faces a must-win situation Thursday when it plays Group B leader Ivory Coast in Douala, Cameroon. The Desert Foxes of Algeria, surprisingly, are at the bottom of the group with 1 point after a scoreless draw against Sierra Leone and a 1-0 loss to Equatorial Guinea. That defeat on Sunday snapped Algeria's 35-match unbeaten streak. Algeria's head coach, Jamal Belmadi, promises his team will not be eliminated without a fight.
Obviously, it will be, of course, a tough game because of Ivory Coast national team, great individual players playing in different leagues in Europe. And even because we are in this situation, 1 point after 2 games, it's not, of course, what we was expecting. But, of course, we will never accept to go out of this tournament without giving everything.
For reaction to Algeria's two Nations Cup performances in Cameroon, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted African football analyst Benga James.
It is quite shocking and unexpected, that is to say the least, that the Desert Foxes of Algeria will be struggling in the group stage of the ongoing AFCON in Cameroon. For starters, the Desert Foxes are the defending champions. We saw an impressive and a very good Algerian national team 2 years ago in Egypt, who virtually streamrolled their way to the championship in Egypt. And to think that 2 years after, now that you think that they will want to consolidate on that performance. And don't also forget that Algeria came into this championship on the back of 35 international matches, unbeaten, just 2 matches shy of the record set by Azzurri of Italy. So nobody expected this. So it is shocking. It is a surprise. And as we speak now, the Desert Foxes of Algeria, with their array of stars, are on the verge of not qualifying for the next round of AFCON. That is to tell us the unpredictable nature of football. And that to also let you know that you can't take anything for granted in football, because I'm sure that even the Algerians themselves, they will be surprised and gutted at themselves with the position they find themselves in now. What could possibly be responsible for this? Was it that they didn't have a good preparation? Was it that they didn't take their group opponents seriously and they are getting shocked with the kind of results they've recorded from the matches they've played so far? I mean, it could be any of these factors, and it could be a combination of all the factors. And my take on this is that it also shows us that African football has come of age. No game is played or won on paper. The form book can be torn to shreds at any time. And what counts is the performance on the day. I mean, whatever you did last week, whatever you did last night, that was last night. What is your form today? What is your state of mind today? What is your performance level? Is it your A performance today? And I'm sure that it is the reality that Algeria is living with at the ongoing AFCON.
Equatorial Guinea, so-called minnows in Group E, and in African football, caused an upset by defeating Algeria. Do you think Equatorial Guinea has chances of making it to the round of 16?
The Equatorial Guineans, they must be living a dream at the moment. Yes, I'm sure they are living a dream at the moment. Now, talking about Equatorial Guinea, this is the first time they qualified to be at the AFCON. Their previous appearance was when they were a co-host, and I mean, they went all the way to the semi-final. So for them, it was a celebration already that they qualified for this tournament. But they have been asking all sorts of questions. They narrowly lost to the Elephants of Cote d'Ivoire, and it was a big upset when Equatorial Guinea defeated the defending champions, Desert Foxes of Algeria, 1-0 in their last group game. So anything and everything is possible.
That's African football analyst Benga James. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Benin City, Nigeria.
Sport greetings. This is Benga James, an African football analyst. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Thanks, Benga. The three-time African champion Super Eagles of Nigeria are being supported by thousands of fans at the Nations Cup in Cameroon, and some of them are refugees. Moki Edwin Kinsica reports from Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé.
Cameroon's state CRTV shows Nigerian football fans singing the Nigerian national anthem and cheering for its national football team, the Super Eagles, in northern Garoua City. Garoua is hosting the Africa Football Cup of Nations, or the AFCON, group matches for teams from Egypt, Guinea-Bissau, Nigeria and Sudan. The Confederation of African Football says thousands of Nigerian supporters have come to Garoua, but hundreds of them didn't have to travel far. 19-year-old Nigerian Mohammed Chiruma Faiza has lived in Cameroon's Minawawa refugee camp on the border with Nigeria for 6 years. She fled her village in Nigeria's northeast Borno State after Boko Haram militants attacked their school. Speaking on CRTV, she says authorities helped her and more than 20 other female team Nigeria supporters to watch the AFCON matches in Garoua.
I come to support Nigeria because it is my country. Anywhere I go, I can never forget my country. I can never forget Nigeria. I want Nigerian people to play very well and win this match.
The UN's refugee agency, UNHCR, says there are 68,000 Nigerian refugees in Cameroon's Minawawa camp. They elected Isaac Luca, who has lived in the camp since 2014, as their leader. Luca also fled Borno State in June 2014 after Boko Haram terrorists killed more than 20 people in his village, including his family. Speaking from Garoua, he says cheering on Nigeria's football team shows how much the refugees love their country and hope for peace so they can one day return home.
As a way of resolving problem. If you look at the match Sudan and Nigeria, you know Nigeria is facing security challenges. Sudan is facing security challenges. If the two refugees can come together and watch their place on the field, it's something that can bring unity among the refugees.
Lucas says the refugees cheered the Nigerian team to a 1-0 victory over Egypt last week and a 3-1 victory over Sudan on Saturday. Nigeria plays their third group match against Guinea-Bissau Wednesday. The UN's refugee agency, UNHCR, says they helped at least 100 Nigerian refugees in Cameroon get to stadiums to watch AFCON matches. UNHCR in Cameroon spokesperson Xavier Bourgeois says they believe strongly in the power of sports.
People, and especially young people, also have the right to enjoy, like everybody else. And so when we have this kind of opportunities to bring the refugees in the stadium, of course, we do it with a lot of pleasure. Most of the refugees come from very difficult places. They suffered a lot. They have quite a difficult history. And so that was an opportunity for us to help them to rebuild themselves.
Cameroonian authorities say besides the refugees, several hundred Nigerians displaced by Boko Haram terrorists are also in Garoua to support the Nigerian football team. Moki Edwin Kinsica for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. In Yaoundé on Tuesday, the Rwandan Salima Mukansanga became the first female to referee during a Men's Nations Cup match in Zimbabwe's 2-1 victory over Guinea. Zimbabwe's head coach, Norman Mapeza, praised Mukansanga.
She did very well. She did very well, you know. Games for men, it's always difficult. Tempo is always high. Tensions are always rising, but I think that lady, she did very well tonight, and I think it's a massive achievement for CAF, you know, to give that lady an opportunity to be the center referee of today's game. You know, my wish is to see maybe other female referees getting involved in the world, in the tournaments like World Cups and things like that. But I think CAF, they did very well to give that lady that opportunity to be the center referee tonight.
VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with more on that special lady, Salima Mukansanga. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Tuesday, history was made on the pitch when Rwandan Salima Mukansanga became the first woman to officiate at the Africa Cup of Nations. Mukansanga walked on the field holding the match ball, accompanied by three male match officials. And during the game, which saw Zimbabwe defeat Guinea 2-1, she showed a total of 6 yellow cards and separated players on the field. Ugandan sports journalist Usher Komungisha told Reuters News, the ease and determination Mukansanga displayed on the pitch are the same traits that helped her reach the pinnacle of soccer on the African continent.
You have to go all the way back to 1957. That is 65 years of AFCON history, and she's right here in the center and doing an incredible job. You know, when I see her, it's really a story of, you know, a woman who is resilient. At 33, she's handling, you know, games at the biggest tournament on this continent. It's an inspiration for women who want to be like her, because, in fact, for so many people who don't know, when she started her career, when she got the interest to be a referee, she was playing football in primary and secondary school. And then the Rwandan FA at the time said, look, you're very young to be a referee. But she waited out. She taught herself the rules of the game. And here she is.
Soccer fans in attendance for the Zimbabwe-Guinea match said they are inspired by Mukansanga's achievements. And Zimbabwe supporter Felicia Chisepo says Tuesday's historic event is a big step forward for women in Africa.
Seeing women being empowered, this means that we're going forward, moving as Africa, whereby women are being represented and are being also involved in these sports that, you know, for a long time they is regarded as for men. So seeing a woman, it also shows power. We're seeing women doing great things. So I'm so proud of the referee, and I'm also proud of me as a woman.
And Daphne Tinomuoda says Mukansanga has inspired female athletes to reach even greater heights in competition.
So I think it's going to inspire other women in the continent to compete and go for the course as well, so that they can compete in on greater events like the AFCON competitions.
Mukansanga's rise to the pinnacle of football was fueled by a passion for the sport, with an interest first as a player that shifted to the middle of the field as a referee. Egide Kayatesi remembers training Mukansanga in her youth. Speaking in Kinyarwanda, the veteran coach says she remembers her as a standout athlete. Kayatesi says, I had a good time with her. Mukansanga has an exceptional character, and when she has a match, she prepares for it by consulting refereeing books to do things correctly. She is someone who gives great importance to each game, and that's why Salima has reached this level. Mukansanga was involved in matches at the Tokyo Olympics last year and the Women's World Cup in France in 2019. Those world-class events no doubt not only prepared her for officiating the Nations Cup, but also in making history on Africa's grandest stage. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page on this Wednesday, you'll see a photo of the aforementioned Salima Mukansanga showing a yellow card to Guinea's Ibrahima Cisse during Zimbabwe's 2-1 victory over Guinea on Tuesday. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Salima Mukansanga. And that wraps up the January 19th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.